Well, hi there, and welcome to Sojourning with the Sojourner. We're going to be looking and thinking in terms of worry and overcoming worry. Our scripture, our main scripture, there'll be some other things we'll talk about, but our main scripture is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worry, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Worry is a churning over and over about a matter thought to be of great importance to the worrier. It's a very important thing I'm saying here. Thought to be of great importance to the worrier. The Middle East is filled with people who continually hold worry beads in their hands as they mull over a problem. They will sit and they will run these beads through their fingers one at a time, moving around the strand as though you had taken, say, a strand of beads from around one's neck and just one at a time moving these beads across the string or whatever it is, the wire that's holding them together. And they worry them. Now, worry is really just agitating something, or as I said, churning over something. That is what worrying is. I've known people who would sit and twist a lock of their hair over and over again, and that would be, you would be able to say that they were worrying their hair by just churning over and over and over on something. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but that's not necessarily real productive. Jesus made it clear worry solves nothing. He said, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" Well, who could? Can you change that? Can you add an hour to your life just by worrying? You see, worry may cause physical problems. In psychology, that's called a conversion reaction, when what happens is in the mind gets converted into a physiological problem. And worry can cause that. So worry may cause physical problems, which may take more than a few hours off a person's life. It won't add to your life, but it can reduce a person's life. Take more than a few hours off a person's life. But Jesus spoke truth when he said no one could add to their life by worrying. Now, there's a difference between thinking on a problem and solving it, because that has direction with it. Worry has no direction. Worry is circular in nature. It just churns around and around and around and around and never gets anywhere. So if worry has with it no progress, why would we worry? Especially when Jesus went to these lengths to tell people, don't worry. There must be a reason for that. So if worry exists, and God doesn't want you to worry, then who would want you to worry? Well, one is our adversary, Satan, would want you to worry. And he may worry you with things by continually agitating and agitating and agitating in a circular sort of fashion. You get caught into something and it just seems like you can't get out. And it's like that movie Groundhog Day where you get up the next day and it's the same old thing over again. And then the next day, the same repeat, word for word, everything, deja vu, again and again and again and again. Well, that could be one part of it. But you know, sometimes we blame things on Satan. Not that I want to defend Satan, but sometimes we blame things on Satan that may not be Satan. Because we're dealing with the world, and we're dealing with the flesh, and we're dealing with the devil. So when we worry, the first thing we must understand is we worry by choice. Do you worry? And if you do worry, why do you do it? Has worry ever improved your situation or that of another person that you know? Now, I want to point out, I'm not talking about problem solving here. You know, God is the greatest problem solver that there is. God can sovereignly step in and make a move. God can sovereignly step in and bring you a piece of information that you need. You see, a worrier will say, if they're unemployed, they'll say, how am I going to make the bills? How am I going to be employed? How am I going to be employed? How am I going to be employed? And they'll sit and they'll churn and they'll churn and they'll churn, and they'll waste a lot of life doing that. Now, a problem-solving person will say, okay, how am I going to make a living? And then they'll look at the things that they can do and find ways to do it. I cannot tell you how many times I've talked to people over the years, and no matter what idea you give them, the first thing they do is find some reason why it can't be done. Well, that's a form of worrying, because if you can't break out of where you are, then you're going to churn and churn and churn and churn. Worry is more than just an emotion. It's just an inappropriate behavior and action that really bears no fruit but frustration, fear, and lack of any kind of success at what you want to be able to do. So, let me ask you this. Is there peace in worry? Have you ever met a worrier who felt peaceful? Whenever you, perhaps, we've all, I think, gone through periods of time where if we didn't know any better, we would worry. Did you ever feel at peace when you worried? Now, peace is a gift from God. But did you ever feel peace when you worried? I doubt seriously if you did. So, there must be some things to this worry thing that could really hinder us and hold us back. Not let us be all we could be, because we're worrying about it. Worrying is not doing anything about the thing that you're worrying and churning over and over and over in your mind. You see, believers really have no reason to worry. As a matter of fact, for a believer to worry would really be in the area of sin. You would be missing the mark, and that's what the scripture says sin is, missing the mark. You would be missing the mark of faith that God will see you through. if God said he would never leave you or abandon you. Now I'll get to that in a minute. But believers have no reason to worry. Jesus said not to worry about these things in particular. Now let's look at some of the things he said. He said, do not worry about your life. Well, when do people start worrying about their life? Have you ever noticed that children are sort of oblivious to worry many times? You know, people will say, oh, to be a child again and not have the worries of how do I get the income, how do I pay the bills, you know, this sort of thing. That a child just gets up and goes through the day and rather expects things to go well. But at some point then, children learn to worry. You know, worry is really basically a learned behavior. Particularly if you're in a family or a group of a bunch of worriers. Now, one of the first things that I notice many times that people will worry about is, are they acceptable to other people? Now, this would imply that being acceptable to others gives you value. My friends, your value comes from God himself, not from others, not from what others think about you. Now, it's nice to have honor and favor with people. It's nice, it's nice to be liked. And in what I'm saying, I don't want anybody to think that I'm implying that this means that you ought to just, you know, do whatever you want to do and just abuse other people because it doesn't matter, because the scriptures are clear on how we're supposed to respect and love each other, and we're supposed to do unto others as we would have them do to us. But nevertheless, our value comes from God, not from other people. We may be gratified that someone likes us. We may be very pleased that we have someone who wants to spend the rest of their lives with us. That's a wonderful gift, that someone is willing to do that. But at the same time, we have to remember that worrying about life is outside of our realm of authority. You see, taking care of our life as believers is God's responsibility. Now, don't change this into, I'm just saying that you don't have to get out of bed and do something. That's not what I'm saying here. But I'm saying that taking care of us, giving us a return on the breath we breathe, giving us the necessities of life, that's God's responsibility for the believer. And he doesn't shirk that responsibility. Worrying about life also comes as we get older, and then we start noticing, well, you know, some guy will go, oh, I wonder what she thinks of me. I think she's really something. Or vice versa. I wonder what he thinks of me, you know. And so then people start to learn to worry about, are they attractive enough to the other person? Are they saying the right things? This is another form of worry about life. And this tends to come before anybody is really worrying about bills, but they begin to worry and fret. And I will tell you, parents can do a great deal to help prevent that. If you can instill that God gives you value, and if someone doesn't recognize your value, it's their problem, not yours, provided you're in step with God. Now, if you're just out there abusing people, different story. But if you're in step with God, if you're doing to other people what you would like for them to do to you, for you, in a way to relate to you, you're doing this to other people, you're relating to them in that fashion, then if someone doesn't like you, and this may come as a surprise, but not everybody will like you. I know, your mother's own child. But everybody doesn't have to like you. God needs to be pleased with you because you need to be in doing your life in a godly fashion. If you're going to be concerned about something, it needs to be, am I serving God properly? Now, you could sit and worry about it, or you could find out the answer by being in the Word and learning what God wants from you. Now, the other thing, after he said worry about life, now we tend to think that these other things are life, and they're not. Now, one of the other things that Jesus said is not to worry about what you would eat or drink. Many people worry about, I've heard people say, I'm so worried, what am I going to have for dinner? What am I going to fix for dinner? Where will I go for dinner? What will I eat for dinner? Well, just eat something that's healthy. Make a decision. You know, most worry comes about because people will not make a decision. We live in a world, particularly in the Western world, we live in a world where nobody wants to make a decision to be responsible. They want someone else to make the decisions. Well, of course, that's really nice if someone else is making decisions for you, because if they're making decisions for you, then if it goes wrong, you don't have any responsibility in it. That's a terrible thing to do to other people, because it is your responsibility to be responsible for the decisions that are made in your life. But if you're wanting to please God, and you're wanting to do to others as you want them to do to you, I dare say you will not need to worry about what you will eat or drink. Now, there are two reasons, very quickly, that I can give you. The scriptures say, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. That being the case, why would you need to worry about what you would eat or drink? Because you wouldn't be forsaken. And if you're relating to other people as you want them to relate to you, then they're going to interact in your life in such a way as that everybody will have what they need. Then the next one is, don't worry about your body or what you will wear. Now, one of the things I know that you've probably seen is particularly teenagers are always concerned about what they're wearing. And the interesting thing is, because they tend to worry and churn over this sort of thing, they wear whatever the uniform is of the day. I remember when there were protests against a war that the nation was in back in the 1960s. And many disparaging comments were made about people who marched and were in a uniform. And the thing that I noticed was that the people who were making many of these comments were wearing sandals, blue jeans, and tie-dyed shirts. I submit to you that they were wearing a uniform, because all their friends wore sandals, blue jeans, and tie-dyed shirts. But they were able to recognize who was one of them. Well, that's the same reason the military people wear uniforms, so that they shoot at the right people, so that they know who's a part of them. We're not to worry about our body or what we will wear. And Jesus talks about the flowers of the fields and how God has provided for them. He says, we're not to worry. He says, God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. In other words, the grass of the field is just a transitory sort of thing. Will he not much more clothe you? Now, he says something at the end of that statement. He says these words, and I'm going to say these in a very flat way, because I want to point something out to you. He says, O you of little faith. Now notice, those who lack faith are worriers. And Jesus said to such as these, O you of little faith. Notice this is a statement within a question. He's talking to them about the lilies of the field and everything, and then he makes a statement within a question, you have little faith. If these are the kinds of things that you are occupying your brain power with. Understand something. As long as you're worrying, I'll tell you what it's like. Let me tell you what worry does. Back during the Cold War, the Soviet bloc nations did not want their people to hear radio-free Europe. So what did they do? They broadcast a jamming signal so that people couldn't hear it. It was just this constant hum or buzz or interfering sound that prevented them from hearing it. I want you to think of worry that way. Worry jams your mind to the point that productive thinking cannot occur. You can't be thinking about God. Believe me, you're not thinking about God when you're worrying. Because if you were thinking about God as a believer, you wouldn't be worrying. You would be knowing in your heart and in your mind that God was going to take care of it. As you were walking in faith. So Jesus asks them this question, and within the question, he frames a statement at the end of it. He says, "You of little faith." So why worry? Believers are to be peculiar people. The scripture says believers are peculiar. Let me ask you, would not those around you who have not Christ think you peculiar if you did not worry? Have you ever had somebody say, "Well, isn't this bothering you? Doesn't this worry you? What's wrong with you? How come you're not worried?" What they're saying is, you're behaving strangely. They might even say, if that word was one that they would draw on, you're peculiar. Look here at what Jesus said regarding unbelievers. Jesus said, "For the pagans run after all these things." I will tell you, if you say you're a believer and you're running after all these things that Jesus said not to worry about, what's the difference between you and a pagan? Why would somebody want to be a part of God's kingdom if the people in God's kingdom show no difference than the people outside of God's kingdom? Why do people want to come to the United States? Why do they even break into the country by crossing the borders illegally? Because there's something here that's greater than where they left. The same is true for the unbeliever when they see God working in the life of the believer. They want to come in any way they can, and they'll find ways to, they'll try to act like believers. They may attend services, but they're still worrying. They still don't have any fullness in their life. Why? Because they've tried to come in as a thief rather than coming in by accepting Christ and bringing Christ into their heart so that Christ can take care of all the things that they've been worrying about. As a matter of fact, when people see believers who are worrying, they must then assume that there is no reason for faith because this person worries just like we do, they would say. Now, once a person becomes a believer, there may need to be some pagan habits which need to be abandoned and beginning to accept not just Christ, but the Lordship of Christ and understanding what the fullness of Christ is. Why? Because old things must pass away and be put aside. Because all things become new when a person accepts Christ. So if you have a person who claims to be a believer, but there's nothing new in their life, nothing became new, their life really hasn't changed, then we must say, are they really a believer? This would rankle some people. But you see, one of the gifts from God is peace, and if you do not have peace, then you may need to ask yourself, do you have God? Or better yet, does God have you? More important. You know, Jesus defeated worry through his covenant with believers. Covenant with believers. Let me say it again. Covenant with believers. A covenant is a promise that is to be kept. Now, men make covenants all the time and back out of them, but God's not a man that he should lie. When God makes a covenant, it is there to stay. It is forever. And Jesus defeated worry through his covenant with believers. God has promised he would never forsake, never leave or forsake his own. Look in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, where the writer quotes two scriptures in that one place. Now, here's scripture, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, but the writer is quoting from some other places in scripture. Specifically, the writer's quoting from Deuteronomy 31:6 and from Psalms 118:6-7. And he reminds the readers of Hebrews, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now notice he says, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. Understand something. Faith will never get rid of fear. The only thing that will rid you of fear is love. The love of God, the love of God in you, a love for God, and therefore a love for others. Because the scripture says that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. When fear is gone, faith is ready to operate. But faith is ready to operate when perfect love has driven out fear. Yes, fear is an enemy of faith. But the devastating blow to fear, which causes worry, is love. Because when you understand that God is love and perfect love casts out fear, then what do we know? We know that you then will be at peace. And when you're at peace, faith will prevail. You know, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, and in doing so, dramatically proved he would keep his word. I'm telling you, if somebody tells you that if you kill them in 3 days, they will be back and they do it, they have proven they will keep their word. You could pretty well trust that person. Jesus was just that person. Victory came. Jesus demonstrated a great victory in the major issues of mankind's existence. Certainly, if he can be trusted for the big things someday, he can be trusted for the little daily things each day. Now, I've had people say, do you really believe that you can pray and you'll get a parking place? Well, yeah, I do, because I have. But let me ask you this question. This is a much more important question. How can you trust Jesus and the blood of Christ and the work that he did on the cross to save you and bring you into eternity with God in heaven as opposed to eternity in hell with Satan? How can you trust him for that big a deal? There is no bigger deal. How can you trust him for that and not trust him for the little things that happen daily in your life? It makes no sense. We must not worry and fret over the daily things. If we don't know how to deal with something, we need to go to the Lord, because he can give you the idea. Do you know he can give you an idea for an invention that will not only feed you and clothe you and house you and give you all those things that you wanted, but do the same for generations following you? You can change your family tree forever simply by being in concert with God and driving fear out with the love of God in you. So certainly, if he can be trusted for the big things someday, he can be trusted for the little daily things each day. Therefore, now listen to what Jesus said in the 34th verse there of Matthew 6. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, he cares for the believer's cares. Now hear me. He cares for your cares. If you have a care, give Jesus your care. Because he cares for you, he cares for your cares. He will take the care of each day's troubles, and the believer will live in victory with him here and now. Not just in the sweet by and by, not just when he comes and catches us up in the air and gets us out of this mess. He can get you out of every day's mess and keep you out of every day's mess. And the scriptures promise that, because when a man's ways are pleasing with the Lord, it says even his enemies will be caused to live at peace with him. Even his enemies. I will tell you, if you're a worrier, you may be your own worst enemy. Why? Because you're not at peace inside yourself. Jesus is our peace. He is our Sabbath rest. We must always look to him. And in looking to him, we will live in victory, overcoming worry and anything else that faces us in this life. Well, my friends, I hope you've gotten something from this message. I find so many people who worry and worry and worry. You can overcome everything because God is with you. If you're a believer walking with him, he is with you, and he will overcome anything that you face, anything that attacks you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. But don't form your own weapons against yourself. In Christ, we overcome worry. Live in peace. Rest in him. Cast your cares on him. Love God and let the love of God fill you. It will drive out fear. Worry will not linger with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so many times people are tempted to worry, find themselves drug into worrying. We bind worry from every person hearing my voice. We say, worry, you have no place with them. If you're not a believer now, invite Christ into your heart. Repent from worrying and your days without living with him, and invite him in. He'll come in. And if you are a believer and you found yourself falling into that awful abyss and pit of worry, repent now. Let God set you back on the path of peace. For I have bound worry from you in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, I ask that every person that hears my voice, that you would send the Spirit of peace and joy. Let them know that Sabbath rest. Let them be great in their function in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friends, that's the end of this message. But we'll bring you more. We'll ask the Lord what you need. We'll ask the Lord what we need. And he knows our needs, and he'll take care of us. So until the next time, this is the Sojourner saying, the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours, by blood, by adoption, or by assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus.